Welcome to another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. I'm Sandy Klein. A celebrity makeup artist for more than 20 years, Carrera Musa is the founder and creator of a cosmetics line that bears her name. Carrera Cosmetics are routinely featured in leading magazines like People, Vanity Fair, InStyle, Elle, Essence. Her client list includes Linda Evans, Paula Abdul, Kirstie Alley, Andrea Stasu, and Mandy Moore. Before starting her own business, Carrera worked alongside makeup industry icons Trish McAvoy and Laura Mercier. As a member of both McAvoy and Mercier's national teams, Carrera traveled around the world, teaching makeup trends and helping women create their individual looks. About Carrera's background, life began in an orphanage in northern Nigeria after her mother died in childbirth. She was subsequently adopted by an aunt who had very little herself. Carrera spent her childhood in a mud hut with no electricity or running water. But she says, as a child, makeup was an outlet that provided a way for her to look past her surroundings. She would use leaves to create henna colors and loved how those colors were rich, opaque, and filled with pigment. In 1992, when Carrera was 25, she emigrated to the United States to pursue her education. And as they say, the rest is history. Carrera, welcome and thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Sandy.
Let's begin at the very beginning. Growing up in northern Nigeria, share what you remember.
What I vividly remember is me being a child running around bushes and lots of my other friends. Really, it was a great childhood.
In spite of what had happened to you?
Yeah. I mean, it's sometimes tough because I would get teased by the kids. Especially, I was getting a lot more attention from their grandfather. Remember now, my aunt adopted me, so I'm not blood related to these kids that I'm growing up with. And they would always tease me, go back to your father, you know, little witch, your mom, you killed your mother. That was very, very hard. And you know what, Sandy, even today, when I go back home, I hear those little voices. Yeah.
Your aunt had children.
Yes, she had.
And so there were a group of you who were living in these less than ideal conditions.
Her children were way older than me.
Uh-huh.
Her last born, her only son, was 10 years older than me. So, yeah, he did not live with us. He also was raised by his uncle. I was the only child, but surrounded with a lot of grandkids from her husband's side.
So your aunt was your dad's sister or your mom's?
My mother's sister.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And so she did the best she could for you under not ideal circumstances. It must have been so tough.
Yes, it was. Really,
but you knew nothing else.
Exactly. You know, when you are that age, you don't know. You know, I really don't remember being that poor.
Or that deprived.
That deprived until when you are grown up and you see all that. You're like, wow, I can only, when I see kids live in the same condition I'm living now, I'm like, how did we do it? But I have to tell you, Sandy, love is very, very important.
And powerful.
And powerful. My aunt showered me with so much love. She made me feel like I was the best thing ever.
Oh,
and whenever I'm depressed with the kids teasing me, she always will tell me, she said, you know what, Carrera, don't you worry. One day, all these people will come to you for help. So you just put your chin up. You are my princess. And I'm telling you, that really, I think that's what made me to be the person I am today.
So you had a hell of a foundation.
Yes.
In spite of how you came into this world.
I always used to think I am all of that, you know, and I can be among princesses and
hold your own.
And
huh?
Hold my own. And I never thought twice that they were better than me because of how my aunt made me feel.
Did you ever meet your biological father?
Yes.
And do you have a relationship with him?
I had a relationship, but you know, being that growing up in northern Nigeria and also having a Muslim background, the interaction between fathers and daughters is not that close, you know. I will go with my aunt to visit my dad because my dad was living in another city, and my dad wasn't affectionate towards me, which is understandable. That's how the culture was before. Now probably things have changed because of the Western education, but wasn't, but my father was a very nice man. He was a very stubborn, and but he, whenever I visit, he will always make sure that he gave us a lot of gift to come back with.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
so it wasn't that he was completely removed from your life.
No,
didn't necessarily exercise a great deal of influence.
No, because my aunt's husband did more than my father.
He was there living with you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I lived with them, so he played the father role with me, and he was amazing as well.
I think it must be jarring to the average person to hear what I said in terms of the fact that you spent your childhood in a hut with no running water or electricity. But then again, that's what you knew. That was your normal.
Yes. And, and I have to tell you, I'm really grateful going through that part of my life to being here today, because I can tell anyone, you know what? You can be anything you want to be if you work hard. And let's also understand that you have to have people help you get there.
Sure.
So it's very important when you are in an ability to help those that are less privileged, really go out there and give them, especially when the kids are really trying their best and want to be somebody. And, for example, now, because of what I went through, as I started school for, underprivileged kids. And
in Nigeria?
In Nigeria, in my village, actually. Mm-hmm. And we started with 20 kids. Now we have 93 kids.
Wow.
And these kids go to school free of charge, And I'm grateful to my clients, who support my business, because most of the expense of the school come from what we sell from the cosmetic line. And mm-hmm. also we get some donation from our generals clients to help with the school.
That's a little bit ahead of me, because what I wanted to ask you actually, so how were you able to leave Nigeria? Did you have a sponsor who paid for your education? Take us through that, how that happened.
I think in any society, like I even here, I'm embarrassed to say this, but when you're pretty, you have a better chance of getting. So I was married into money, and my ex-husband was from a well-to-do
family,
and
so you married young.
I married very young. Yes, I was 16 when I got married.
Were you planning to go to college?
You know what? It's I went to a primary school.
Yes.
I started primary school at the age of 9.
So that's late.
That's very late. I literally got myself go to school. And my culture, which is Fulani, it's a tribe in northern Nigeria, women were not allowed to go to school at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in an area where we are surrounded by Christians. And this young lady, every morning, she would walk through our compound and go to school.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked so clean all the time. And I'm there washing my little dirty dishes in the morning. That's usually some of the chores that I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this girl every day. And I told my aunt one day, I really want to look like her. So one day she's coming back from school. I asked her, I said, where do you go every morning? And she says she goes to school. And she started sharing what she does in school, her coloring book.
Isn't that weird? And you had no clue.
No clue. So I told my aunt, I really want to go to that school. And she's like, but that's a Christian school. Can't go there.
Yeah.
I said, I still want to go. So I convinced my aunt, whatever I wanted, I always
you
get
got
from
it.
My aunt.
Mm-hmm.
And her husband was nice enough too. He said, okay, let's send her to the school. So at that time, education wasn't free. My father obviously doesn't even know what was going on. My aunt's husband paid for my first year education.
So they accepted you into this Christian school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not a problem.
I went and met the pastor,
mm-hmm.
and I said to him that I want to enroll into the school. And that was at the last semester of the first grade. And he said, but this is final exams. You can't enroll. I said, I started crying. I said, I have to go to school. And at that time, this pastor is so excited to see that Muslim kids want to go to school. So he accepted me into the school, despite the fact that it was the final year. I made it to going into second grade.
But you didn't know how to read?
I didn't know how to read, but I was taught and I was able to, you know, pass. I don't know if they allow me to pass through, but I made it to second grade. And that was history. So by the time I graduated my sixth grade, and it was time for me to get married. I remember now, I started at nine years old.
Okay, so
I was 15.
15, okay.
Almost 16.
Okay.
But, you know, at that time, being 16, I'm really an old lady. I'm supposed to be married at 14 or so.
Well,
so in that culture.
I understand.
So I did get married, you know.
So it was an arranged marriage.
It was arranged marriage, yeah. No. It wasn't arranged marriage. I had an arranged marriage. But I refused to marry that guy. I was like, no. And that was arranged when I was 8 years old. But I said, no, I'm not going to be married to him. I don't want him. So I didn't marry him. So my, then I married my, you know.
Your first husband.
My first husband.
When you got accepted into that school, I have two questions.
Sure.
So A, you couldn't read.
Yes.
And B, were you an anomaly in that you were the only Muslim child in that school?
Yeah, at that time,
At that time. And that didn't have an impact on you?
Do you know what? No, not at all.
Okay. You were completely accepted?
Yeah. No, that the Christian never had any issues with you being a Muslim to come to the school.
Okay.
You know, the Muslims were the ones that were having issues for you to go to the school.
Okay.
I really was well accepted. Mm-hmm. I sang the Christian songs and I hung out my...
So you were completely drawn in?
Yeah.
Part of the student body?
Yes. And it was really a really good experience for me. And the pastor was amazing. And then later on, I moved to a larger school because at that time, the first grade was just a small school in a church. So we will go to school. We were schooling under a tree on a rock. There was no classroom.
You learned on a rock.
Yeah. So when it is raining, the church allow us to go into the church when it's raining. But if it is not raining, we were sitting outside.
Under a tree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you go to school and you learn how to read.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking to yourself, I want to do something.
I really got into three high schools. You know, when you finish in your sixth grade, you know, you get accepted to high school. I did, but there was no way for me to go because I have to get married.
Because that's what you do.
That's what you do. So when I got married, and honestly, my ex-husband, really, I would say that was very kind of him. He allowed me to go to learn general, take a class of 1 year for general education, which is GCE or GED here.
GED, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I did that and I got A's and B's. And then I did like an SAT exam to get into university.
Yes.
And I did that and passed and went to a university in Nigeria studying accountancy before I migrated to the state.
So he was different and your relationship
life
was very different.
Yes.
You should be home having babies.
Yes.
And
yes.
You were not.
No.
And that was okay with him.
Yeah, he was very okay with that. He was really okay with that.
So it winds up being 1992.
Yes.
You're 25 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're saying, I have to leave.
Yeah. Then I wanted to come to a school in the state. And at that time, you know, I was married for at least eight years.
Yeah, well, if you were 16,
yeah,
right?
I mean, so, but life... Things changed.
You didn't have children?
I have. Mm-hmm. At that time, I had two children. And I moved to the state and then started going to school.
Hold on, woman. How did you pull that off?
I told him that this is what I want to do. I wanted to study in the state. And he said, fine. He said, okay.
And he paid for you to do this?
Yes.
And your children stayed with him?
No. My youngest son, Dan, came with me. So he was here with me.
So you come to the States with a child who's how old?
Yeah, he was then 6 years old.
6 years old.
Yes.
Now fill us in. Where were you heading?
Well, before I actually came to go to school here, I was coming to the state for vacation.
You've been here before?
Yeah, I've been here twice.
With your husband?
With my husband the first time, then the second time I came by myself. And then when I came, my first visit to the U.S. was New York. And I came.
What a surprise!
And I came to in November. How could you? It was cold.
No kidding.
It was really cold.
You came to like one of the craziest places.
No, it was 1990. It was so cold.
When you were visiting.
Visiting. It was so cold. And I said, oh, then went back. And the second time I came back, it was a little bit the next year. And on my way back, I met some families that were from California. And they were telling me about how beautiful California was and the weather is gorgeous. They invited me for Christmas. And then I came back that time I'm from New York, then went to California. The weather was gorgeous. Of course, I fell in love with California. And that's where I decided to move to go to school.
So you and your son migrate to California.
Yes.
And where do you go to school?
I started at a community college before I was going to go to a four-year college. But right at the middle of, after I finished with my associate degree, I was already working in cosmetics. And with so much responsibility back home, everybody wants you to help them.
Financially?
Financially, from my my family, not my ex-husband family.
You mean your aunt?
My aunt and everybody. This is the thing with some men, is that they would take care of you, but not your extended family.
Yes.
But
yes, they wouldn't take care of your extended family.
But for me, I really felt obligated to help my aunt and my extended family. So I was working then in cosmetics. And working in cosmetics.
Just on the side.
Yeah, and then going to school. And I started making a lot of money because I was doing wedding makeup and selling.
How did you know what you were doing?
Well, when you get hired at cosmetic, they train you. So I was trained in cosmetics.
But this is what you wanted to
do.
That's
what I had wanted to do. I walk into the department store. I said to myself, you know, when you walk into a department store, you always see like the cosmetic department first. And I'm like, that's why I'm going
this
to
This is
work.
Me. Yeah.
This is where. So I got a job there.
In California.
In California at Robinson's May then. And I started from behind the counter. And then at the same time, I was modeling on the side. And the agency that I had was working with in California wanted me to do videos. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do videos because you have to show a lot of your body. That wasn't me. So my agent said, well, you know, if you want to do print, California isn't for you. New York is. So 1996, I moved to New York to pursue my modeling while I was working then with Lancome Cosmetics. And I had a friend, very good makeup artist. At that time, she was a makeup artist for Sally Jesse Raphael. Then she said to me when I moved to New York, she said, if you still want to continue with working in cosmetic, you need to go with the makeup artist brands, which is MAC, Bobbi Brown, Trish McAvoy. At that time, Laura Mercier hadn't even been launched. So she said, and the stores you need to go to, you need to go to Saks Fifth Avenue, Harry Bendel, or Buckdove. Do not go to any other store but these three if you want to be an it makeup artist in New York City. And at that time, I've gone in to sign up with my agency, a modeling agency. I walked in. It was so, you know, New York going into the subway. It was cold. It was February. I don't know with me and coming to New York. I always come to New York when it's really cold. So 1996.
Well, if you can make it here in the cold, you can make it, you know.
1996, going for ghosts for modeling, not even sure you're going to make it. I was like, you know what? I really don't think I want to continue modeling. I just want to focus with makeup.
So you were modeling in California.
I was
modeling. And you mentioned that you had an agent.
Yes.
So I'm not glossing over this at all.
Yeah.
But it was relatively easy for you to make all of these transitions to go from, you know, your associate degree, then you get this job in a department store. I mean, the stars were kind of aligned for you in
I have to tell you something, Sandy, and I don't want to make it feel like I really worked hard.
I don't deny that for a minute.
I had always got it easy.
Okay, in spite of that.
In spite
of all these other obstacles.
Yeah, when I went in for my cosmetic interview, I didn't have any experience. They said, listen, we're not going to hire you in cosmetic but right away. But if you go into the department, men's department, we have a position open there and you prove yourself in 6 months, we'll get you over to cosmetic when there's an opening. And I agreed. I made my goal in 3 months. And I said, well, can I interview now for cosmetics? I did interview all three brands, Lancome, Estee Lauder, and Clinique offered me a job. and I picked Lancome. So from Lancome, modeling was something I really didn't intend to do. It's like just when I'm walking around, people would just, are you a model? Can you, you know?
Well, and you're really, you're just, beautiful. And you're
you.
Also, you're very majestic.
Tall, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I, it's something that I was just pushed into.
Got
not
it.
Something that I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And beside, I did like little infomercials. I made some money off of it. But staying hungry and being staying skinny, I couldn't do it. I was always sick because I had to live on a gallon of water, carrots, and kind of tuna. It wasn't me.
And you know? Your son is with you?
And my son was
And you
with
are
me.
Divorced at this point?
At that time, we were separated.
Separated.
Yeah, but we got divorced 5 years after I'd been in the state. So my son went back when he was 10 years old.
Oh, did he?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it was getting a little bit, you know, when kids are growing and there was no one around and I've been working. I was going to school full-time, working full-time. Wasn't, you know, it was not
practical.
Easy. So
yes.
I sent him back to Nigeria. But I visited Nigeria twice a year just to see my kids,
kids
and come back. But going back to your question, I will be in a situation where that I'm being offered something and I look at it and like it. I never had any issue of any of those things. I did have a little bit of issue with modeling because it was...
A big Muslim?
Yeah, being a Muslim. And at that time, it's not really allowed. So I was really modeling but hiding.
Yes.
Doing
mm-hmm,
it. Mm-hmm. And I felt that why should I do something...
that you feel compromised
yeah,
by.
Yeah, so there was no need for me to do it. So I really went with my cosmetic. Working in cosmetic, and then my position where just was given opportunity to be a regional makeup artist. I started also from behind the counter, then regional makeup artist, national, and then I was training people internationally, and then I started thinking, okay, you know what, I can actually have my own brand after working. After Lancome, I did Trish McAvoy. Then after Trish McAvoy, I was with Laura Mercier. Some of them I helped with product development. I knew then that I can actually start my own brand.
Your own brand and your work in cosmetics, does that cross racial lines?
Oh, yeah.
Your cosmetic line is not exclusively for women of color.
No. It's
is that
everybody.
Unusual?
A lot of people, when they want to start something, they want to look at a niche.
Mm-hmm.
And that they want to, or they come up with a saying, oh, because I didn't have this, that's why I'm creating for this. For me, I'm a makeup artist.
Regardless of who your clients
yeah.
are.
So
they're,
it doesn't matter
women.
What complexion mm-hmm. you are, what skin tone.
Mm-hmm.
If you are an expert in what you do, it's like a doctor saying, I can only treat Caucasian women
right.
or Caucasian people.
Right.
I don't know the bodies of black people.
Gotcha.
You know? So to me, that's how I look at it. And, you know, all these three brands, remember now, they're mostly their customer base are Caucasian.
Exactly.
So I worked more with Caucasian clientele than I did of women of color.
And Caucasian clientele were not intimidated by the fact that
oh,
you're a woman of color?
Actually, they love that.
Isn't that
and
great?
Everything that I put on always sells out, especially when it comes to lips. And but when I really started seeing the difference when I became a national and then started traveling internationally, and I will be like in Chicago or I will be in Detroit or, you know, major cities where you have women of color. And I will be in maybe Saks or Nordstrom and you see women and they will come to me. Can you
help me?
You help me with a
mm-hmm.
foundation. You look great.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, they actually didn't have my foundation. I used to custom make my own foundation.
Uh-huh.
That is a fact.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but now it has changed. All these brands have colors now
for everyone.
Everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time that I was traveling, I had to tell them, you know what, we really don't have it. But you can go to this brand. You can go to Fashion Fair. Or you can go to... you know, Bobby Brown or MAC at that time, I would tell them, but they didn't have any color for me when I was with Lancome, Trish McAvoy or Laura Mercier. They will have dark skin colors, but they were really off.
Mm.
So, and that's when I started experimenting on colors and finding the shade that really best match. You know, women of color, we are skin undertones are very complicated. People used to think that because we're all black, we can have one shade. It doesn't work like that.
Because I would
when
think
it
not.
Oxidized, mm-hmm. you know, it changes. That's when before years, when I was, you know, starting, when you see a woman with foundation, you look ashy because they were having so much of pink undertones, which works for Caucasian women,
right.
but didn't work for women of color.
So there's not a lot of careers out there, women who do what you do?
Not that I know of. I mean, there are great makeup artists like, you know, Ashanta Sharif, who is a really good makeup artist. But to have her own brand, you're asking, or as a makeup artist?
I guess both.
No. Mm-hmm. Makeup artists, yeah, you have a lot of, but having
their own
brand. No. Iman owns her own brand, but she's not a makeup artist. She had someone else to design
right.
it for her. So it's a difference.
So you have a flagship store that's
yes.
located in the small Bergen County community of yes. Tenafly, New Jersey. And all different types of women come in and out of your store. And
yes.
that's basically where you can buy your cosmetics.
We can buy that on in our flagship store online.
Or online, of
and
course.
And then also we have some selective boutiques that sells our product. And we also have expanded our brand. We are now in Nigeria.
How
and
great is
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so I had to take it home, you know.
Oh, I bet. Talk about your giving back. Fortunately for you, you were able to get out before
yeah.
Boko Haram stormed in
yeah,
and
yeah.
that's really has had an impact on you.
Oh, definitely. I remember when I went home to launch my brand, one of the events that I was doing, I couldn't even go to my hometown because at that time the girls were taken, you know, the 200 something girls were taken. It was heartbreaking.
Do you remember that year?
It was 2014.
Okay.
It was really depressing. And I was calling my friends here. I couldn't get anybody responding. And immediately I got back. I had to do something in regards to that. And my amazing community rallied behind me. And we did a whole awareness on it. And we got a lot of coverage. But still, it's so unfortunate. Not even 10% of them are probably like now, the last time few of them were recovered, but not enough.
Well, it started while the movement started in Nigeria to spread like a cancer.
Yeah. It's unbelievable what Boko Haram had done to the Northeast.
Yeah.
It really had devastated so many communities. People are not in their villages, nobody afraid to farm. And these most people were dependent on farming. So there's hunger and diseases and homelessness all over the Northeast right now. Even malnutrition on kids. They're saying this year alone, about 500,000 kids will die from severe malnutrition.
And that the power that this organization wields is just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. And I think they pray all on people that are not educated. You know? That's what it is.
But also for you, it's not only Boko Haram, you also support breast cancer,
yes.
sickle cell, educational programs for African
yeah.
teens. You're
yeah.
one busy lady, Carrera.
I really feel fortunate, and I feel that if there's anything I can do to help anyone, and sickle cell is very personal to me. In 2013, I nearly lost my son, who is a sickle cell survivor now.
Wow.
He got the bone marrow transplant, which I donated for him through me. So
Wonderful.
He is now the survivor. He doesn't have the disease. That's another thing that I am a huge advocate for, because people need to know that now there's a solution. There's a treatment for it.
So now you live here. You have a new family. I mean, you're remarried?
Yes, I'm remarried.
And
I have three boys with my husband now,
uh-huh.
Twin boys.
Right,
and
right.
now a grandmother.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So, and my littlest one, Hanif, who is the sickle cell survivor.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So how can people find you online in terms of if they want to get your cosmetics?
At our website, rarecosmetic.com.
Well, let's spell your name,
okay?
K-H-U-R-A-I-R-A. You're in a good place, huh, Carrera?
Yes, I am very blessed.
The world needs more Carreras.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it has been totally my pleasure.
Thanks.
And to get to know you has just been, I feel really lucky and blessed.
Thank you.
Join us for another edition of Conversations with Creative Women. And please go to our iTunes store page and leave a rating and a review. And if you know anyone you think that we should interview, contact us at sandyclineshow.com.